From the secrets we keep to the lies we tell ourselves, get ready to challenge the status quo and dare to ask the questions others are too afraid to ask. Welcome to the Francesca Luca Show. Join Francesca as she ignites a meaningful conversation about things that really matter. Buckle up and get real. Now, to give you something to talk about all week long, here's Francesca.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. Hope you all had a great Memorial Day weekend. I actually visited ANGL Ceramics in Scituate this weekend. Jeff Adams, who is the owner there, was a contestant at the South Shore's Most Eligible Bachelor and Bachelorette contest. He did not win, but he did meet someone there, so that was kind of exciting. But anyway, I just wanted to mention his ceramic studio because it's just like amazing. He's had his hands in clay for more than four decades, and he also teaches pottery classes and has been for over 30 years. It's a full-service pottery studio, and it's located just steps from the North Scituate commuter rail. He also offers memberships to the Experienced Potter and an eight-week class sessions that he offers for the beginner and intermediate potter. So I just wanted to mention that because I think it's really, it's a great place, and my wallet was a little smaller when I left, but I did get some great pottery. So just want to let you know about that. That's ANGL Ceramics in Scituate. All right, going to get right going on the show. And I just want to let you know that I want to take a moment to thank everyone who came out to the South Shore's Most Eligible Bachelor and Bachelorette Contest at Alden Park on May 17th. It was an incredible night. I had an absolute blast, and I hope you did too. And I wanted to mention that if you want to relive some of the fun, be sure to check out the photos on my Facebook at The Francesca Luca Show or on Instagram. So again, thanks to everyone who made it such a fantastic event. So this morning, I just want to shift here on Love Bites, which is now, it was Fridays, and now it's Wednesdays at 9:10. We talked about narcissism, and I want to just read you the question that the listener sent in. Can a relationship last long term if one partner is high maintenance and possibly a narcissist? We have a strong physical connection and I'm exhausted. So the topic tonight is going, we're going to continue on because Love Bites is a really short segment, 10 minutes. We're going to talk about narcissism and high maintenance people. And we are going to be talking about it with Marie Morin, who is joining us on the phone now. All right, big welcome to you, Marie Morin. I'm so thrilled that you're here and you're going to help me with this question that we had this morning on Love Bites. And I did send it to you ahead of time, but and I read it to our listeners, but one more time. Basically, listeners, we are talking about, can a relationship last long term if one partner is high maintenance and possibly a narcissist? They have a strong physical connection, and but the relationship itself seems to be having some issues. So I'd love, Marie, if we could actually start with talking about what actually some of the biggest misconceptions about narcissism, especially in romantic relationships.
Well, good morning, Francesca and everyone. Okay, so it's a very common word now. Everybody's talking about narcissists and narcissism, and I think it's important to distinguish the difference between narcissistic traits, which everyone can have, and actually a diagnosis. But one of the things that we need to keep in mind are there's key factors, right? Like one of them is this lack of empathy. And who needs that? I mean, we want people to understand us. We want to be understood and heard and somebody to say, hey, I see you. I know what you're going through. But there's usually a pattern with narcissists because they can be quite charming. And in the beginning, they could do something that we call love bombing, which is quite nice for all of us. We all love to be love bombed. And they're really good at apologizing, but they don't actually change. They keep a lot of promises. They do a lot of guilt tripping and manipulation, but this is after the relationship has gotten started. So it could seem like a great relationship at first, but if they have narcissistic traits and a genuine disorder, they are definitely going, it's going to be a problem. This isn't going to go well for them.
You know, it's interesting that, because that was the first thing I said this morning, was that they lack empathy. But in addition to that, I said, what's worse is they see your empathy as a ticket to do whatever they want. And I think, hence, that's where the danger lies, right? I think that when it is a true narcissist, they actually they gravitate towards those more empathetic, more sensitive types.
Yeah, we know that to be something that's typical. I just don't want anybody to get the impression that there's something they're doing wrong. Like you're a target because you're that way. They just see you as someone special because you are. You are special. You have empathy. You're a grounded person. But I think it's difficult for anyone who's being love bombed and given all of this attention that, I don't know anyone that doesn't want that.
Well, it's very romantic and it's exciting, and then the endorphins are going crazy, and you know, it's just, it kind of puts you off into that different world, that when you're feeling that love. But I think love, you know, I don't know, as I get older, I say, you really, that instant attraction, I'm not sure. It's not that I don't think that people can be instantly attracted to each other, but when the relationship kind of almost takes off on a world of its own, and there's just like a complete whirlwind, and it's super exciting. I don't know. I always say sit up and take notice, because that to me seems a little, it doesn't seem like when they're in love with each other, you know, after three nights, you know, I don't know. That to me, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not saying that it can't ever work. You know, I suppose there's somebody out there that they met someone and two nights later they were married and they're still married 30 years later. I bet it does happen. I bet it can happen. But overall, I think love takes time to really, really grow. What do you think about that, Quinn?
I agree.
I don't know. I was just thinking about you. Quinn's a little bit younger than us, to say the least.
I think that, I think that there are more and more people that are itching to dive into it, especially I feel like my generation, where you're in the middle of this shift to people starting relationships later in life, but biology, for at least for women, necessarily hasn't caught up to that. So I think that you see those people that dive into it a little bit quicker once they hit their 30s, maybe.
Well, you know, Marie Quinn just got married recently, and I just, when we were talking, I kept thinking, I wonder if Quinn is listening to this and saying, she's nuts, I met my wife and I fell head over heels, and, you know.
Not at all.
No?
No,
not at all.
No.
Okay, good. I feel
time.
Better about that, Quinn. I feel like your marriage is going to last now. Not that I'm the expert, Marie is, but okay, great. Well, thank you, Quinn, for that, Marie. So, I think that love bombing thing, and sadly, I actually had that, and I got divorced. My ex-husband, after 3 weeks of us dating, he said, I'm looking at my future wife, and oh, I was just so, it was such a whirlwind, and it started with an incredible date. He flew me into New York City. He lived in Connecticut. I lived in Massachusetts. And I mean, it just was like wild, and 4 months into it was, you know, we were engaged, and then like 8 months into it, we were married. And I'm not saying he was a narcissist at all, although I'm sure he, just like me and everyone else, does, like you said, have some tendencies. But I really do think that, you know, we did need to really learn more about each other, and we did stay married for a long time. But I do think that our relationship takes time to grow, and I think that it's really good advice that you give, is be careful when someone is love bombing you, and that can really be dangerous. But I want to move on to another question. I want to ask you how you can tell the difference between a partner who's just self-absorbed, maybe someone who, I don't know if self-absorbed is even the right word, but, you know, doesn't really want to settle, knows what they want, And I'm not so sure that's necessarily a bad thing. You know, they want what they want when they want it, and that's it. And especially as women in particular, as they get older, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm not going to settle for this. You know, I know what I want, and that's it. But how do you really know the difference between that kind of a person and one who may actually have narcissistic tendencies?
Yeah, well, I think it's really good that everyone is picking out or choosing their must-haves and what are they called? No deal. Like, well, I'm not going to do this if you're like this. I think that's outstanding because it says that you know yourself. You know that what you want to tolerate and you won't tolerate. But I think the distinguishing factor between someone who is like that and a narcissist is this lack of empathy, and also the need to be admired. Like, that's a big thing.
Yes.
You know, they want to be admired. They want you to, in some ways, really see them as this fantastic person. But let's be real, no matter what the relationship is, after a while you realize your partner isn't what you thought they were, and you see some of these shadow things that you don't like, so it's kind of reality. But for the narcissist, he needs to be I'm saying he because it's most likely males that are true narcissists. Let's call
it that. Oh no! Do we need to cut that out, Quinn? I don't want any letters going around the station.
Well, that's the research. That's the research.
Good. So, perfect. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I did not know that. That is very, very, very interesting. You know what the word comes to me when I think of narcissism? Grandiose, right? That I think narcissists tend to sort of perform grandiose gestures, not only to kind of rope you into their web, but also if they do something that's inappropriate, it's not unlike them to, again, perform these grandiose gestures to get the person back. But interestingly enough, once they do get the person back, it's sort of like, okay, yeah, I already said I'm sorry, now let's just move on from here, right? I've seen that before, too. It's like, okay, how sorry are you really? That's kind of a flimsy apology when you say, I'm really sorry. Yeah, I didn't mean it, really. And then, but you're still lingering with the aftermath of the behavior. And, for example, I have a girlfriend who was engaged to a guy, and they were together for a couple of years. He cheated on her, and she found out because the woman called her and told her. So of course she didn't want to be married to him or get married, and they split up for a bit, and you know, he just kept schmoozing her back. I could see the writing on the wall. I honestly could. But nonetheless, he did keep schmoozing her, and she did finally acquiesce and got back with him. I will never forget this as long as I live. As long as I live, guess what? You know, and she still wanted to talk about it a little bit. She hadn't fully forgiven him. And she didn't feel comfortable being intimate with him. And I'm not talking about emotional intimacy, but physically intimate, because she just felt like she needed more time to heal. And he said to her, it's been a long time, like in a really, like she whenever she told me this, it's been a really long time since we've been together physically. And you know, it's like, enough is enough here. I really want to just, you know, either we need to let this go, or I don't want to be with you anymore. Now at that point, I would have absolutely said, get rid of him. You know what, they've been married now for a really, really long time, and he has a regular history of still cheating. So, you know, but that's another whole story, right? Because then I question, well, what is this person really doing, right? What is this person really doing with this person that is clearly so problematic? But on that note, Marie, Quinn has just signaled me that we do need to take a short break and hear from our sponsors. So when we come back, more to come, listeners.
Don't touch that dial. More of The Francesca Luca Show comes your way next.
Tired of looking tired? Noticing the signs of aging? Fine lines, dull skin, or lost volume getting you down? Aliette Aesthetics will help you turn back the clock naturally. Whether it's a lifting and tightening, PDO thread treatment, wrinkle-smoothing neurotoxins, or collagen-boosting PRP therapy, Aliette Aesthetics has the treatments to restore your youthful glow. As someone who's been in your shoes, I trusted Aliette Aesthetics to refresh my look, and now it's your turn. Rediscover radiant, youthful skin, because you deserve to look as vibrant as you feel. Visit Aliette Aesthetics today and start your journey to the best version of you.
You need help around the house. You need a handyman. How do you find just the one you're looking for? Go to locally owned and operated HandymanConnection.com. Handyman Connection puts you in touch with one of their carefully screened and background-checked craftsmen. You get the best help around for maintenance, installation, and remodeling services, carpentry, tiling, and flooring, and assistance with aging-in-place upgrades to your home. Handyman Connection also provides you with free in-home estimates and a one-year written warranty on labor from one of their experienced professionals. Call 781-829-3030. Or visit HandymanConnection.com. Your connection to quality craftsmen on the South Shore. One call, one connection.
Now, for more of The Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back and we are speaking with expert clinical therapist Marie Morin. Marie, so before the break, I had asked you, why do you think these people stay in relationships that are clearly draining them? But I guess part B of that question would be, and how do they break free when they, you know, what are the emotional patterns that keep us stuck? So, but first, let's talk about why people do stay in these kinds of relationships, because, you know, I guess for myself, I have some thoughts that, you know, perhaps they were, you know, they don't feel like they're deserving of something more. I don't know, maybe it roots back to when they were a child or something, didn't get the love and the attention that a child should get. You know, just so why do you think that people would still be hanging around?
Well, I think that there's that piece that a lot of us have. There's the attachment on and the hope that maybe things will change. Mm. And if I do this, they'll change. And if I do that, they'll change. And then, you know, life happens. Maybe there's children involved. Yeah. Maybe there's stepchildren. Maybe there's children in the marriage. And, you know, there's a lot of research that suggests that divorce really does do a number on children.
Absolutely.
So I think with those things in mind, plus the fact that the logistics, what's happening financially between them, mm-hmm. You know, no one knows, but often the woman, so let's just look at the research. If it's the woman that's staying, there could be some financial entanglement happening where it's going to be very complicated for her to leave. And then if it's a narcissist, you know, if he's behaving like a narcissist, he's probably threatening and saying things like, I'll ruin you, your life will never be the same.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just not as easily said than done.
Great. Thank you for sharing that, Marie. I appreciate you sharing that. Thank you. Because I didn't mean to interrupt. I just felt that, I feel like that's a really, really good point. And because I could also be one to be quick to be like, get rid of that nonsense, you know, whatever it is. You know, it could be anything. But, you know, I do tend to be quick with, if it's not right, move on. And you know, you can't, and not only that, I mean, there, you know, that's a good point, but also there, you know, there could be, like you said, narcissists are very, you know, charming, so they kind of rope you into really falling in love, right? And then, and then you're in, you're hooked in, so, right? So, but more than that, let's get into the psychological point, part of why someone would stay in a relationship if they really could get out? Because, I mean, I know some single women that are in relationships, and they can't get out. They just can't get out. That's it, you know. There's a woman, and I've shared this on the air a couple of times, actually, in my career, where I know this woman, she was really more of an acquaintance, but she told me about this relationship she was in with this guy, and he was clearly a narcissist, and she said, you know, I've done all the therapy, my mother was a narcissist, and, you know, I'm very attracted to narcissists, whether they be a friendship or the man that I'm seeing. And she said, I just won't ever forget this. And she said, I really feel like I see a narcissist, and just imprinted on my head is suddenly jump me. Right? So what she was saying is that, you know, now there's this intense attraction that she wants to be with this person. And, you know, that gets into trying to maybe make the old wound, what am I trying to say? You know what I'm trying to say. You're trying to reenact that story, and this time it's going to be different, right? And that's old, that's kind of old news. But so, I mean, what other reasons? All right, so financially, children, background from your past. What other reasons would someone? Because I'm thinking about a woman who was on my show, I don't know, a lot of years ago, and she was very educated. She was a journalist. She wrote several books. She was there was so many things about her, and she got really entangled. And I'm trying to, the name of her book was called Crazy Love. Yeah. And I just can picture the book. Leslie Morgan Steiner, I think is her name. And she's been on with me a couple times. And she really got entangled with, like, the worst of the worst. And, you know, she didn't have a background. She had great models for parents, so the modeling, you know, was, you know, they had a good marriage, and, you know, she loved her parents loved her. There was none of that stuff, you know, that traditionally a therapist would say, well, let me find out, ask you about your mother, or ask you about your father, or ask you about your family dynamics. So it was none of that. Of course, I don't really know. I didn't know her only from being on the air, but according to her, there was none of that stuff. So, you know, what would make, like, that kind of a situation? So someone who came from that, and she didn't have children with this guy either. They weren't even married. She finally did break away. But still, I mean, she had the worst of times getting on with it.
I bet. So, you know, that is emotional abuse, because as the relationship develops, there's a lot of game playing and manipulation, and then a lowering of the person's self-esteem. It's mm-hmm. devaluing. You know, the person feels devalued. And so that strength that you have, that you'd say, well, I'm just going to dump him, after years of that type of treatment and abuse, they're not going to be likely to have that internal strength. To just say, okay, I'm going to pick up and leave. There are other factors. You know, they lose themselves in the relationship because that's the pattern. And they also, you know, a narcissist with this kind of in and out and push and pull, with one minute you're valued and you're this terrific person to you're devalued. Sometimes people are attracted to that type of, let's call it drama, you know, and that experience, and the charisma and energy that a narcissist can bring can be difficult to let go of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned one other thing that I think is interesting, and it's that narcissists can recreate our past. I know in the example you gave, she didn't have that, but perhaps this person, this woman did have experiences when they were a kid where they were devalued and valued, and they had that type of relationship with in their family of origin. Then when they go to find somebody, they're looking to recreate that, and it's called traumatic reenactment. And it's a very interesting topic, a whole other discussion, but that can happen as well.
Yeah, I think that prior to telling you about this woman who wrote the book Crazy Love, I mentioned this other woman who did have what you're talking about right there, because she said her mother was a narcissist, so she always went after narcissistic men. So she could then, like you said, reenact. So I think there is obviously validity to that. So I think that's a big thing. And so when you say there's a lot of manipulation and intimidation, I think then that's when we get into gaslighting. I'm just wondering, Quinn, are we ready for that next break before we get into that heavy? Okay, because we're going to talk about gaslighting next, and I just wanted to make sure that I don't want to start that and then have to take a break. So let's take our break now. And listeners, when you come back, we're going to talk about gaslighting, what it is, where it comes from, and how to spot it.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next. Oh gosh, Debbie, my new puppy is pulling me in a million different directions. One day it's off to the groomers, the next it's the trainer. Between that and my job, my head is spinning.
Oh, Quinn, it sounds like you need a one-stop shop for all your pet care needs.
That is exactly what I need.
Well, then you should come down and see me and my team at Doggy Works. We offer daily dog daycare, walking, training, and grooming all from one spot. We've got all the services you need to give your dog the best care it can get, all under one roof.
That sounds amazing. Where can I find you?
It's easy. We're located right on Route 14 in Pembroke, and we're open 12 hours a day, Monday to Friday. And if you can't make it during the week, we're by appointment for grooming and training on Saturdays too. Your dog deserves the absolute best, so check us out at doggyworksllc.com or call us at 781-754-0329.
HM Auto Detailing handles entire fleets of vehicles for local businesses, and they're ready to make your car, truck, or SUV shine like new. Do you stare at that spill from when your coffee got away? Are you sad about the bag of groceries that toppled and stained? Maybe the kid's last food fight left war wounds in your vehicle. Or it just might be time for a good cleaning. Get a fresh start with HM Auto Detailing. Same day service, over 10 years experience, they even detail boats and aircraft. Call HM Auto Detailing today, 781-738-3301. 781-738-3301. HM Auto Detailing, 156 Union Street in Rockland.
Tired of looking tired? Noticing the signs of aging, fine lines, dull skin, or lost volume getting you down? Aliette Aesthetics will help you turn back the clock naturally. Whether it's a lifting and tightening, PDO thread treatment, wrinkle-smoothing neurotoxins, or collagen-boosting PRP therapy, Aliette Aesthetics has the treatments to restore your youthful glow. As someone who's been in your shoes, I trusted Aliette Aesthetics to refresh my look, and now it's your turn. Rediscover radiant, youthful skin, because you deserve to look as vibrant as you feel. Visit Aliette Aesthetics today and start your journey to the best version of you.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back, and I'm speaking with Marie Morin. She is a clinical therapist, and we are talking about narcissism. Welcome back, Marie.
Hi.
So, before the break, we had just touched a tiny bit on how narcissists manipulate and intimidate while using gaslighting tactics to control you. So I wanted to talk to her. I mean, I think that most people at this point would know what gaslighting is, but you know, there still might be some people that really need it broken down. So I'd kind of like to talk about what gaslighting is, because it's just so, how it leaves you is just, that's a terrible way. It's just a terrible thing to feel. So can you share with our listening audience a little bit about what it is, what to look for?
You know, I found out this fact about gaslighting, that it actually originated with a film with Ingrid Bergman and Charles Boyer, and it's called Gaslight. And In this film, Charles Laurier literally did the same practices that we talk about. He minimized how she felt. He was manipulating, so she questioned her sanity and her perception of reality. So let's think about that for a minute. Now, we've taken this word, and we use it for a lot of things that, in fact, it isn't. So the manipulation has to be something where there's a perception of reality change, not necessarily that you feel like you're going to be insane, that you're going insane, but that, you know, you don't know what you're thinking. You're not sure. You're doubting yourself. And that's a very, very emotionally distressing place to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's fascinating. I'd love to catch that film.
Me too. I was looking that up the other day as well, so I know exactly what you're talking about. I thought, oh, how interesting. I think that I know I, for myself, have been a victim of gaslighting, and you know, it's nice that there's a title for it, but it's so damaging because you get really confused and you don't kind of know. You become almost like a little, you become delusional. That's the only word that I can come up with. You're starting to think like, what's wrong? Am I crazy? Did this really happen? And they'll look at you like, what is wrong with you?
And the goal of it is to have the person rely more on the manipulator, which is interesting when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're questioning your reality and your perception, in fact, you might just say, well, they must know more than me. They must really have a hold on what reality is, because I certainly don't.
Yeah.
So that's a very vulnerable place.
It sure is.
Is there any wonder that they wouldn't feel strong enough to just pick up and leave?
Right.
If they're doubting that they can, you know, their reality is really true, right?
And I think it's worse when the person has kind of a passive-aggressive way rather than someone who's really more rageful. And just want to throw out there to the listeners that if you do have a nagging sense that you're not safe, right, because it becomes very unsafe for you, right, it becomes like a form of post-traumatic stress, get out if that's the case. However you need to do it, stay tethered to reality, and you're not going to stay tethered to reality, right, if you're continually allowing that person to sort of permeate into, you know, their crap into your heart and soul.
Right.
And some of the ways, so I'd like to sort of continue on a little bit more and really get in a little bit more heavily with gaslighting and be really specific, because there's so many ways that someone can do that. But I think the one that really stands out for me a lot is when someone kind of looks at you like, where is that coming from? Like, oh, I don't know why you'd be feeling like that. Like, that's not what I'm saying at all. You know, they've just called you an a-hole, right? And yet you, 2 days later, you're like, hey, was I called that? And I'm not talking like literally, but, you know, more like basically telling you like you're a loser, you're no good, you know, you don't think right, all this stuff. And then, but they say it in such a way that you kind of, you feel crappy afterwards, like, I didn't like that conversation. But you really can't put two and two together because they're so smooth about the way they do it. But yet, a couple days later, you're shaking your head like, was I just told that I'm a piece of you-know-what, right? And I think that that's when it starts getting really dangerous, because your reality does start to really change, and you don't know basically whether you're coming or going. And for a lot of people, too, another thing that really can be scary is it does get so complex that it's so hard to figure out that, what do we do when we're not feeling good, someone's not making us feel great or whatever? Our tendency is we're going to distract ourselves. We're going to go think about something else. We're going to do something else. We're not going to go there because it's getting too weird, right? It's just, and that happens too. And then you want it to be, and then they'll do something that makes you get right back into it.
Right. Yeah, so you are doubting your own thoughts. You're doubting your own self as a human, right, as a person. So the likelihood of being able to put two and two together is going to be really tough for you. And then you have all those other things that you're tethered to the relationship because of. And they're very good about giving promises and then apologizing. So if in the back of the mind, in their mind, they're thinking, well, maybe this person can change. Oh, they've just promised they can change, so the cycle can begin again. Mm-hmm. And I read somewhere that it takes someone who's been emotionally abused 7 attempts before they can get that, you know, get out of the relationship. It's really hard because it is possible that this person is even passively aggressive. Threatening you. They may not say, you know, I'm going to ruin you, but they will imply it. Mm-hmm. So then it's complicated with fears of, well, what's going to happen. So a person who's in the situation definitely needs support. They also need a safety plan, like, what am I going to do? One of the things that's really key often is the financial piece, where that person, because they're so crafty, they are controlling every dollar. And so it could be that, you know, even if she's a high earner, her monies are going into a joint account that she has very little access to. So she has to somehow or another create a fund and be able to be okay financially. So it's quite complicated. Mm-hmm, and a safety plan means that you're not going to just say, oh, I'm going to leave. You know, you can't. You have to make steps in order to prepare for that departure.
Mm-hmm. I just got a question that just came in from Facebook that someone wants to know if it's possible to have a functional relationship with someone who shows narcissistic traits, or is that wishful thinking? And you're the expert, so I'll let you answer it. But I do want to just say that there are people who you know, do have very dysfunctional relationships, where and one is absolutely the narcissist, and the other just enables the narcissism. So, my question to you is, I think people can have a functioning relationship, not necessarily happy, but if one is continually acquiescing and enabling that person, and they're okay with it, I guess it could work. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that they're okay with it. It could be that they've just learned how to cope with
it.
So
yeah.
I think that the key thing, too, is that it's not really a partnership. So this person is in a relationship with someone, and they're not getting their needs met, and they won't get their needs met. It just will not happen, and the likelihood of someone actually changing is very slim. Unless the narcissist does the work and says, and, you know, commits to doing things that include being more empathetic, which just means, hey, I'm going to include you into my world where you matter. And I guess people can stay in relationships. I mean, we all know them, people that are in marriages that are functioning, but they're not really in a connected relationship where they feel loved, understood, heard, valued, and part of the story of the relationship. It's not just about the narcissist, right?
Quinn, what
does
do you think about that?
Questions?
Oops, sorry. Sorry.
I don't know. This is not my area of expertise, so I defer to the expert on this.
I was just curious if you knew anyone that was in that kind of a situation.
No, not really.
Oh, lucky him. He hasn't seen any of it. Well, he's not even 30 yet.
Yeah, I think that reveals itself a little later.
Well, I don't know. You know, it reminds me of I thought it was interesting, a friend's daughter. This was years ago, but she was in a relationship with a guy. You know, she wasn't old. She was like 22, 23 years old, but he had a lot of anger and, you know, was playing a lot of games. And, you know, I could see what was going on. And it did take her a bit to get out of it. But when I say a bit, not like he kept saying that, you know, he was going into these rages because, you know, his parents were getting a divorce and he was really all, you know, upset about it. But you know, eventually she did get out, and I attributed her ability to escape, that she had like two super loving, caring, supportive parents, and I do think 90%, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I do think that 90% of someone's ability to move on, you know, does have to do with their core belief in who they are. Because despite the manipulations, and yes, they can, all that craziness, but I don't know, if you've got that basis, if you've got that core belief that you're a valuable person, and you know right from wrong, I don't know, what are your thoughts on that? I think that kind of person doesn't get into quite the same situation that somebody else could conceivably, you know, have to, you know, go to a domestic violence place.
Right. Well, you know, it's an interesting thought here. So can someone be future-proofed into not getting into a relationship with a narcissist?
Great.
Because of their core beliefs, that they see themselves as valuable. And, you know, my personal opinion is absolutely, because of the fairy tale nature of the relationship, and because of the charming energy that comes into the room, and there's something quite attractive about that.
Okay.
And they're usually excellent dates in the beginning. And who's really suspecting that this person is not who they say they are?
Unless you're super distrusting, and then if you are, you've got your own issues, right?
Yeah, well, all of us should have a level of that, you know, to be a little bit, concerned about what's happening, who this person is. But I think it is possible, and I think it's very important to stress that it can happen to anyone, and there's nothing wrong with you if it happens.
Thank you for sharing that, because you can always hear the judgmental side of me saying, oh, no, if you, you know. So I thank you for that. I think that, you know what, I think that's a really, really good point that, yeah, it is, they are very charming. That's the main thing. They're charismatic and charming. And that can be, and who doesn't love that kind, being around that kind of person? Quinn has just informed me, this is our last segment, is that right?
Correct.
Okay, so Marie, this is our last segment. We're going to take a break, but then I would like to maybe get into narcissism in families and friendships, and get off the romantic relationship for a bit. So listeners, we have a great final segment, so stay with us here. And after the break, join Marie and I.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next.
Beyond Aesthetics in Westport empowers you to be your own kind of beautiful with an exclusive and customizable experience. With an unmatched catalog of services, Beyond Aesthetics is your one-stop personal health shop, offering skin treatments, microneedling, laser hair removal, and the Glow 2 Facial, a breakthrough treatment that unlocks the body's natural superpowers. Exfoliate with O2 bubbles, amplify with Lux via their light ultrasound experience, and detox via lymphatic massage. You can feel the magic. So clear your mind and recharge your body at Beyond Aesthetics, 1125 State Road in Westport. Services are by appointment only, so book yours online today at beyondaestheticswestport.com. Beyond Aesthetics, invigorating you, mind, body, and soul.
Need a reliable place for your pet? Does your dog crave extra stimulation instead of social isolation? Sign up for doggy daycare at the Dog's Den in Pembroke. With two separate yards and plenty of supervision, your dog will have a ball and tug-of-war toys and plenty of new friends. The Dog's Den also specializes in grooming. Each groomer at the Dog's Den has decades of experience and will leave your furry friend refreshed and ready for their next adventure. Schedule your grooming or daycare today at thedogsdengrooming.com.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back, and we are in our final segment of the Francesca Luca Show with
and expert clinical therapist, Marie Morin. And we've been talking about narcissism, and it's really been very, very interesting to me because I really sort of had some ideas of my own on the way it was. And Marie has really shed a light on that. Even the most people who have come from the most beautiful upbringing, loving parents, their marriage was the perfect model, that they can still fall prey to such insidious behavior. So big welcome back to you, Marie.
Thank you.
So before the break also, I had mentioned that I'd like to just kind of touch on, because we only have about 10 minutes left, but narcissism in family and in friendships. I definitely know that it does show up there too, but I'm curious, what does the dynamic typically look like in a family? Is it any different?
Yes. Well, I don't know that there's going to be love bombing, because we're not trying to get someone. They've been born into the family, but there typically can be things like an excessive need for control in, the parents. They will be grandiose, as you mentioned earlier. There's that lack of empathy. There'll be manipulation and gaslighting. So very similar practices and behaviors. And there'll be this demand for attention. Mm. So needing to be the focal point of the family. And that could be really stressful for a child. And as the child grows up, those things don't just stop. Mm-hmm. There's still that demand placed on them, and it can really impact adults as they get into other relations, a married relationship. Mm-hmm. Because what daughter-in-law is going to want to deal with their mother-in-law being this demanding and needing so much from the son still? Does that make sense?
Unfortunately, yes. Yes, unfortunately, it does. Yes, and then now I'm thinking about it. We could go off on a topic that's entirely mama's boys, right? Because that can, that perfect son, and she never wants to let go of her son. That can be just a form of continuing to control and manipulate, mm-hmm. right? So
right.
Yeah,
right.
That can be, that can also be tough. Wow. So obviously we're talking about parents. What about, what if one parent is a narcissist, the other is an enabler? How can an adult child protect their boundaries without cutting their ties entirely? Because, we've spoken before, and, there's a lot of estrangement that goes on with families, with children and parents. And, as I said,
yeah.
We talked about that several weeks back when you were on the air with me. And listeners, Marie is going to be helping me, just an FYI, she's going to be helping me with answering some of the questions that we get in the morning on Wednesdays on Love Bites twice a month. So you'll want to tune in and look for that information on Facebook and Instagram as well. How can these children protect their boundaries and at the same time hopefully not have to cut ties?
Yeah, so this is quite complex. So think of it this mm-hmm. way. In some ways the child learns to be a people pleaser in order mm-hmm. to survive. Mm-hmm. So if they don't want to upset mm-hmm. their mother or their father, they will learn that they have to keep the, the apple cart from falling over, so to speak. So in setting a boundary, that's huge and very easy to say and hard to do, because you could risk losing the relationship with the other parent, because they often become what's known as a flying monkey. And mm-hmm. so if you remember the Wizard of Oz and the witch had those monkeys flying around supporting
mm-hmm.
her,
mm-hmm.
the other parent very often ends up doing that. They will, and then support the narcissistic parent in getting what they need, the narcissistic supply, and then the adult child is put in this double bind. If they don't, then they lose perhaps the relationship with that non-narcissist. But if they stay, they have to continue in that dynamic, which, this is extremely stressful and deleterious for the human. I mean, people, we can only think about it, but if it's happening to us, this is dreadful.
Yeah, exactly. It's tragic. And even, and then if they really feel like they really don't have a choice and they leave and they move on, I can't help but believe that they carry those wounds with them and, sort of are become hypervigilant to others, and then kind of almost looking for that behavior, which then obviously another level ends up being they get into distrust.
I think it's possible, though, if with the best support possible, you have people on your team, your supportive friends that are rooting for you to help you keep the boundary, because you can always say, I'm going to make a boundary and declare the boundary to the narcissist. But if you can't keep it because of the distress that it creates, then it's not really going to work. But it's possible if you have support to be strong in your boundary.
I wanted to mention something that it kind of reminds me of, like one of those mobiles that the babies have, right? You know, when what I'm talking about, right? You know, the mobiles, right? And if you took one piece off of that, right? Because it seems to me like that's kind of like a finely tuned machine. And so is that sort of the roles that children have to have in that dysfunctional situation. Well, you pull one piece of it, someone actually decides, I'm not putting up with this. Well, yeah, not putting up with this, but they create the boundaries, they're doing the work, maybe seeing a therapist and they're learning how to deal with this situation. The narcissist, from what I understand, is going to like charge back and make it even worse and harder to wear that person down. And then we could also get into not just family and friends, but work environment too, right? I've seen that in a work environment where, you got a real narcissist that's kind of ruling the roost, and that could just be deadly. For everybody's mental health, just talking about this honestly is exhausting. Just really, just thinking about how it's just such a difficult thing that you have to deal with, And but in a family situation, especially, because when it's your family of origin, that's just, biologically, that's just tough. Because like with a friend, I don't know, maybe I'm a little colder than I need to be. I don't know. But if after a period of time, I've had friends where it's just like, this isn't healthy, it's really more of a slow moving away rather than really getting into it. It's like you're kind of high maintenance without saying you're really high maintenance. This is like really, this is really too much. But so what are your thoughts? Oh, 2 minutes, you got to give me your thoughts. Quinn just told me, wow, this is like flown by. Okay. Can you answer that question in 2 minutes? Sorry about that.
What was the question? No, I'm kidding.
No.
I think part of this is that you don't live with your friends. You don't live with your coworkers, so you do get some reprieve.
Yes.
But with a friend, you may always have that thing, maybe they'll change. Maybe they'll, get better at it. But as we age, let's put it frankly, we don't put up with the BS anymore.
No.
We really don't. We decide, I'm not getting what I need. So if your friend doesn't have any empathy, they don't look towards you to be a part of a relationship where there's back and forth, connection, all of that, then you're likely, if you want, you could just say, this isn't working for me, and then move on. For some people, it does work because they hope, maybe they've known each other for a long time, and they're hoping, this person might change in time. And then there could be that, you know, that pull towards long-term relationships, the loyalty thing. So it's quite complicated.
Thank you.
But I don't think it's ever as severe with friends or coworkers as it is in a family and then in a relationship, okay? You know. Two people in a relationship is a lot more stressful and a lot more involved.
Well, Marie, thank you so much. I can't wait to have you back again. You're so knowledgeable and have really helped parse out this question. So thank you so much for being a guest on the Francesca Luca Show. It's really your expert advice, really, I'm sure, has helped so many who are listening. So we will talk again very soon.
Well, thanks for having me, Francesca.
All right. We've got to wrap things up and say goodnight. Hope you enjoyed the show. And if you missed part of the show, you want to mosey on over to my iTunes page. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram. And Marie, Marie, real quick, what is your website address?
It's Morin, M-O-R-I-N, holistictherapy.com.
All right. Thanks so much, Marie. Everyone else, have a great night.
Agora tá chorando pelo que perdeu.